You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and Robert Lee.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show. As a new year of European Tour golf gets underway with two big events. Firstly, there's the Eurasia Cup presented by DRB HICOM, where Thomas Bjorn's Ryder Cup preparations continue with Europe taking on Asia.
I'm looking forward to something that I'm relishing. I'm looking forward to the week, but the whole road through the Ryder Cup is something that's such a great experience, and it's great fun to be part of, and it's something I take very seriously and work hard on. And my mind never stops really thinking about those 3 days come the end of September.
We'll also preview the BMW South African Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni and hear exclusively from Graham Storm as the Englishman prepares to defend his crown.
When the plane landed this morning, the hairs on the back of my neck just stood up, you know, and really excited about defending this week and looking forward to getting out there and hopefully put up a good fight.
All that to come, plus a look ahead to what's set to be an exciting 2018 on the European Tour with Chief Executive Keith Pelly. I'm Dan Roebuck, and I'm delighted to say that I'm joined today by the man who normally sits in this very chair, Robert Lee. Rob, how are you? Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year to you. Yeah, I'm really good, actually, and really looking forward to now we've got through the cusp of 2018. I feel I'm in it. I'm looking forward to it.
What do you expect to happen in the golfing world over the course of the 12 months? It's obviously very, very difficult to predict. We know there's going to be some headline makers. Do we see surprises? Do we see the old firm coming back in? Do we see Rory McIlroy winning again? How do you see the year panning out?
I think it's quite easy to sit here, you know, the first week in January and get it all right. I mean, I could tell you the four major winners right now.
Go on then.
I can tell you that Tiger Woods is making a comeback. I can tell you that Rory McIlroy is going to get back on his way back to the world number one spot. So what do you want to know first?
Go on then, Tiger Woods.
Tiger Woods come back, if he can remain
healthy. A winning year in 2018?
Do I think he can win? I actually think he can win this year.
A major or
just
to win?
If you'd have asked me 4 months ago.
Just to win.
At the President's Cup in September, Tiger Woods was part of Steve Stricker's backroom staff, and he was in amongst the players and doing what you have to do as a sort of a vice person. And he said that at that point, all he could do was hit a 60-yard pitch. Now, with all his history and the back operations and everything else to that point, I thought, well, he's sort of saying he's cooked here. He's absolutely snookered. And within, it felt like days, he was going full tilt at the Hero Challenge, his own event, in December, and put on a show, to be honest.
Didn't we see that 12 months ago?
No, we didn't. We saw a guy who made the most birdies in the whole field, but he had so many disasters, he finished nearly last. But this time, I think he top-10ed it. I know it's a small field of 18, but there was enough in there.
And it's on a course set up for him.
Yeah, but there was enough in there from what I saw that Tiger Woods can get back to being competitive again if his health remains as it was in that week. That's the big question
when
for
we,
me. Now, now I don't doubt
Rob,
his golf.
Rob, when we go to America, we hear how important Tiger Woods is for the PGA Tour. How important is Tiger Woods for European golf and the European Tour? Or is it just filtered through because he's a world golfer?
It's Tiger factor. Tiger keeps everybody interested. Nobody moves the needle like Rory McIlroy moves the needle, except Tiger Woods. If Tiger Woods comes back, he'll be the biggest needle mover. Every tournament, and we know he's playing at Torrey Pines, and it's going to be released, you know, bit by bit as we go through the season where he's playing. Every place he goes is going to bring tens of thousands through the gate. Look what happened at the event we're looking at this week last year when Rory came to the city of Ekurhuleni in Glendower, played against Graham Storm. Graham Storm beat Rory McIlroy. The people that turned up to watch Rory play there was absolutely incredible.
More on South Africa shortly, more on 2018 shortly.
Rory to win a major to answer your question.
Well, we'll get on to that.
All
Let's
right,
begin with a quick recap of what happened in the four events that have kicked off the new season. That was the back end of last year, of course. Wade Ormsby, first of all, he ensured that it began in spectacular fashion by securing a maiden European Tour victory at the UBS Hong Kong Open, and the Australian was delighted with his efforts at Fan Ling.
Feels amazing, mate. Just trying to hold it together here. But yeah, pretty stoked. Very stoked. I played solid all day, just tried to keep pumping it out and hit a lot of greens. Putter wasn't quite behaving, but just played solid. And sometimes that's good enough. So a bit disappointed to three putt the last, but it's a tricky pin down there. So anyway, good enough.
Fully deserved his 264th start on the European Tour. He's had injury issues and, as he suggested, he was very stoked, pleased for Wade, Rob.
Great story, Wade Ormsby. You know, I don't They use the word journeyman. I don't like the word journeyman because everyone that makes it onto the European Tour is a really, really good player. But he's been out there a long time and had to wait a long time and still continued to believe himself in himself. And I can remember Wade being around about the one, depending on where the number was at the time, 110, 115, 120, wherever it was, around the cutoff, needing to have a good last tournament to keep his card, kind of in that area. And now he's got the win and he's got the chance to plan his schedule properly and turn up as a winner on the European Tour. Now I'm really interested to see how he plays.
Elsewhere, local boy Cameron Smith took the Australian PGA Championship on the same day that Dylan Fratelli was a winner at the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open. A word on Dylan Fratelli, because I think many in the game believe he's going in the right direction. One to watch potentially in 2018. He was 19th in the race to Dubai last year. It's a great achievement.
Well, a couple of wins for Dylan in a very short time. I think that's the big breakthrough, winning in Mauritius. Now he's got to come and play the big Rolex Series events and see what majors he can get into and see if he can become, first of all, the biggest step for him is to become the best South African player. If you can be the best South African player that there is out there in world golf, your career
you're
is
not
going,
doing too badly,
your
are
career
you?
Is going in the right direction. So if he can tick that box, he's going to be flying.
Final event of 2017 saw another maiden victory, this time for India's Shubhanka Sharma at a weather-affected Joburg Open. He won by three. He's only 21. It was his 10th European Tour event. Weather-affected, as we mentioned, showed a lot of composure, a lot of professionalism and experience to win.
Yeah, he was very impressive. I like the way he swung the club, a really good technique, the way he plays. And it's not out of nowhere. I'm pretty sure he finished high up in Hong Kong. I think
he did top 10
in Hong Kong. So it's not, you know, when you see somebody top 10 somewhere, all right, they haven't won, but you can certainly see that they're capable of producing something special. And right now he's tucked in behind Wade, number two.
Yeah, speaking of top 10s, let's get the 2018 race to Dubai after four events, Rob.
So as I just said, Wade Ormsby in the number one spot, Shubhanka Sharma from India second, Dylan Fratelli from South Africa third, Cameron Smith, the Australian fourth, Paul Peterson from the United States fifth. And because it's early days, there are three ties for sixth. Julian Suri, Alexander Bjork, Rafa Cabrera-Bejo, Jordan Zunick and Erik van Rooyen from South Africa rounds out the top 10.
So the first event that we'll be looking ahead to in 2018 is a big one, no doubt about that, especially for a certain Thomas Bjorn, the European Ryder Cup captain, takes a star-studded side to Malaysia to face the best players from Asia in the Eurasia Cup presented by DRB HICOM at Glenmarie Golf and Country Club, just 8 months shy of the showdown against the United States in Paris. And speaking exclusively to the Race to Dubai show recently, the Dane said everything is still to play for those dreaming of earning a place in his side at Le Golf National.
There's a long way to go and there's a lot of golf to be played, and the summer months are going to be so important with points going up, and so it's really difficult. I mean, there's one or two that really shown some strong signs at the end of 2017 and they're looking to be there come September, but I don't really want to get ahead of myself with penciling in names and then feeling like they're going to be there. You know, it takes 2-3 really good weeks over the summer months for guys to all of a sudden make a big jump. And, you know, the list of players is probably about 40, 50 players long now that could make that team. So it would be wrong of me to get ahead of myself and starting thinking what the team's going to look like. And it's the one thing I promised myself I would never do. I would never sit down and write down a name of group of 12 players that I thought was going to be the team, because it'll get my mind going in the wrong direction. And I want to make sure when I start thinking about a player playing in the Ryder Cup that I know he's in the team. Right now, I'm getting to know everyone that could potentially be in the thing.
And you can hear more from Thomas Bjorn in our Race to Dubai Show 2018 Ryder Cup Preview Special. To listen again, head to the audio section on the European Tour website or subscribe to the show via iTunes. So Bjorn says he's still getting to know many of the European players available to him for selection for the Ryder Cup, and he'll certainly know more about 12 of them after this weekend. Rob, the top 10 European players from the final 2017 Race to Dubai rankings automatically qualify for the team. Just remind us who they are.
Well, Justin Rose, John Rahm, Rory McIlroy, Sergio Garcia and Francesco Molinari would have played, but they're unavailable for the week. So this is the automatic 10. Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Ross Fischer, Rafa Cabrera-Bejo, Alex Noren, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Bernd Wiesberger, Henrik Stenson, Paul Dunn and Thomas Peters.
Tommy Fleetwood playing, Race 2 Dubai winner, winner in France and Abu Dhabi. Great that he's going to play this week. What sort of impact do you think he'll have on a team such as this? Will players start to look to Tommy as one of the leaders of the team, do you think?
I think Tommy still, even though he's done a fantastic thing, and that is win the Race to Dubai, he's still a young player. He wouldn't be a talisman yet because he's very much still learning his trade, and now he's learning what it's like to be one of the world's top players. So Tommy's just got to keep his curve going in the right direction. Nice and smoothly in an upward trajectory for him would be absolutely perfect. I think he's going to relish team play. Of course, he has made most of his money before the Ryder Cup started. So he's got work to do to get himself into that automatic eight for Thomas Bjorn's side. And that's good. You need guys like him needing to feel that they've got to push themselves rather than they've already done it.
So experience-wise, Henrik Stenson, who didn't win on the European Tour last year, but he did win on the PGA Tour. We got Ross Fisher in there as well, who didn't win last year, but played well, certainly better than he has been playing in previous campaigns. He's not won on tour for some four seasons now. They are the experienced duo, I guess, in that lineup.
Let's see. Thomas Peters, Henrik Stenson, Matthew Fitzpatrick, Rafa Cabrera-Bello, and that is it in terms of players that have played Ryder Cup. So the rest are going to, you know, Tyrrell Hatton's had a wonderful start. You've got to think if he continues what he's doing, he's going to play his way into the team. So being a part of a group like this, it's a bit like the England players when they go to tournaments. Qualifying for a tournament is you play your club football. You go somewhere for a few days, play a match, come back, you're back into your club football. But the tournament environment's completely different. Being sequestered together for a week in a Ryder Cup situation is different. It's just you're living in amongst each other for the whole time. This gets people used to it. It's really, really good for European players to experience this type of team play. And so for Fleetwood's, the Hattons, Fisher's done it, Cabrera-Bello has done it, Fitzpatrick's done it, Stenson's done it, Thomas Peters has done it. Paul Dunn.
What do we expect from Paul? He won the British Masters last year.
Yeah, and he won it in really good style. He won it with some clutch play over the closing holes. And I think for Paul, more of the same. You know, don't try and reinvent the wheel. When you find out that you're a really good player, then you think, ooh, now I've got to do something different to get to the next level. No, don't do that. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Thomas Peters, you mentioned, and you mentioned him in the bracket of, well, he's played Ryder Cup before, and obviously his debut was sensational. Didn't have the best of 2017. He hasn't had a top 10 since August. Is he under any sort of pressure? I mean, he sort of tried to play both tours a little bit. I mean, I always think that that's so tough for the very, very
tough,
best
yeah.
in the game. And I'm not suggesting that Thomas might not get there because he's a fantastic talent and a great player.
He won 4 points.
Well, this is the Ryder Cup, but I'm just saying, has he had a dip and has he got a point to prove? Does he need to do something?
So far, Thomas has showed us that he is, on his day, a world number one player. That's how good he is on his day. But what he hasn't shown us so far is that level of consistency. Every time Thomas Peters tees it up, he gets into contention. That's not happened yet. He's still a very young player. That's still part of his growth process in terms of being one of the world's top five. And he is certainly good enough to get there. He's got to find more consistency because we know that his very best game can beat anybody.
Couple of wild cards as well that we haven't mentioned, but we will have to. And they are Rob.
Paul Casey. And
Alex Levy.
Alex Levy, who is one of the contenders for maybe a French teammate in the Ryder Cup.
Is that why do you think he's been picked for the wildcard by Thomas?
No, I don't think so. I think he's there on merit.
He won the China Open last year.
Yeah, he's there on merit. He's a really, really good player. And Alex is all guns blazing. That's the way he plays. Really exciting player to watch. I love watching Alex Levy. And if there is going to be a French player to make it, it probably is going to be between him
and
Victor Dubuisson. I can't see them both making the side. You never know. But if we could get a Frenchman into the 12, time we get to September, it would be just mega for the Ryder Cup and mega for France as well.
Paul Casey, really pleased that he's back in the European Tour fold, yeah. so to speak. How he didn't win last year, I'm not quite so sure, because he seemed to have so many opportunities, certainly on the PGA Tour.
He had a great chance in the Tour Championship.
He did, didn't he?
He looked great for 3 days. He looked fantastic. He was great with us on Sky Sports. Came into onto the Sky car every night after play, and it was all good until the last round.
In his first reincarnation, I mean, he had injury issues. I always had him down as a winner, someone who was fairly ruthless when he got in good positions.
I tell you where
he was
ruthless.
A multiple winner, and he doesn't seem to have that anymore.
I'll tell you where
he's
ruthless. He's ruthless in team match play. He's a phenomenal team match player, Paul Casey, and he would be a huge asset to the European side. He plays some unbelievable golf when he's got a partner or he's playing single. So, you know, I'm looking forward to Paul Casey being part of our Ryder Cup side in 9 months' time.
He's part of this team out in Asia. Sure. How much of an audition is this for the Ryder Cup? Can we make comparisons at all? On, off the pitch, boys getting together, playing against another, I know it's not another nation, but, you know, how do you view the two?
I've got seven of these players making the Ryder Cup side and five of the 12 not making the Ryder Cup side. It's so competitive to get, you know, there's four spots from the world rankings or the European Tour. That's all. Four spots to play away. And then you've got to be fancied by Thomas Bjorn. You've got to be between 9 and probably 15 with experience if you're out at 15th in the rankings or you're inside the top 12.
But if,
it's very difficult to make the side.
Sure, but if you're looking for a wildcard, say you're off the pace in terms of qualification via one of the lists, but you play well in this competition for Thomas Bjorn,
yeah,
and he realises that you're a real asset in match play, you're an asset in the clubhouse, but you might not have had a great 2018. Do you think because you've played well in this specific tournament, you might get in?
No, I don't think it's going to have a bearing on what happens pick-wise at all. Because the pressure's not even close. Yes, you want to win for Europe and you want to beat the Asian side. Yes, you do. But is it going to have that cauldron atmosphere that we have at Ryder Cups, you know, with the two sets of fans and not baying for blood, but certainly emotionally involved and charged up for 3 days. It's not going to have that.
It's got to be closer, that's for certain, because last time out in 2016, it was a one-sided affair. Europe won 18.5 to 5.5. And you tend to think, even though the Asians have got some terrific players, that it might be something similar again. Just rattle through one or two of the notables from Arjun Atwal's side. The Indian captain's the team.
He's got some good players. SSP Chair Asia, Lee Hao Tong, who's a fantastic young player. Kiradesh Afibhanrat seems to play well every week he goes out there. Asian Tour Order Merit winner Gavin Green, who hits the ball miles, he's playing. And the young 18-year-old rising star, Kong Wat Mai, he's also out there. And you know, for the Asian players to take on the as they see it.
Is it bigger for them?
I think it's bigger for them. Absolutely think it's bigger for the Asian players to try and turn over what is a top European side, who most of those players will be hoping to beat the Americans. For the Asian players to beat them in Malaysia, for them, it's colossal. It's massive for them.
Kong Wat Mai was second in Indonesia, second in the Perth World Super Six. Is he the next potential superstar to come out of Asia?
Yeah, they're talking it. I mean, he's not 20 yet. So when you see a kid performing like that and he's yet to get to his 20s, he must be very special. So I'm going to keep my eye on him and see how he goes. And the thing is about Kong Wat Mai, he's going to play every session because they play six on the first day, six on the second day, and then 12 singles. On the final day. So he plays every session. So, yeah, fascinating watch.
What do we know about the course? Glenmarie Golf and Country Club.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was designed by Max Wexler. Now, I'm not aware of any other courses that Max Wexler, because two X's don't often get involved in course design. However, Max Wexler designed this. It opened in 1994, so it's been around for a little while. It's not long. It's only just over 7,000 yards past 72. And for these players in warm conditions that hit it miles, that is now, these days, a short course. But the fairways are pretty tight, but they will have the conditions, particularly for the Europeans, to adjust to, which will be hot and sticky.
Correct score for you this time around. The 2018 renewal goes to?
The Europeans are going to win again.
Yeah.
So from 24 points that are available, I am going to have 16 points to 8.
And I'm going to go for 17-7. I think the Europeans will win fairly comfortably. Well, coinciding with the Eurasia Cup, but some 8,500 kilometres away, is the BMW South African Open, hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni. Four-time major champion Ernie Els once again acts as host for the tournament at the Glendale Golf Club, with England's Graham Storm the defending champion after a thrilling playoff victory over Rory McIlroy last year. And I'm delighted to say that the man himself, Graham Storm, joins us from South Africa. Graham, some pretty happy memories must come flooding back when you arrived in Johannesburg. It was a great win last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. So when the plane landed this morning, the hairs on the back of my neck just stood up, you know, and really excited about defending this week and looking forward to getting out there and hopefully put up a good fight.
How are you, Graham? Injury-wise, health-wise, swing-wise, how's it all going?
Swing-wise, not too sure. Injury-wise, I had to have another injection in December in my wrist. Just the same problem that I had in the middle of the year last year. and seems to have cleared it up. So at the moment, hopefully, fingers crossed, I'm injury free.
What are your memories of last year? Because you thought you'd lost your card at the back end of the previous campaign, and then just 80-odd days later, you're beating Rory McIlroy. It was an unbelievable turnaround.
Yeah, it was a surreal moment. The whole thing was just a bit of a whirlwind, to be perfectly honest with you. Having what happened in Portugal, and obviously everybody saw what look I had on my face, because I thought that was the end, really. I thought that I'd have to start all over again, and to get the reprieve that I got, and to then capitalise straight away by finishing fourth at Leopard Creek and then winning straight in the new year. And obviously the manner that I did it, and getting the opportunity to face Rory McIlroy head-to-head and managing to come out on top, you know, was just the icing on the cake, really.
How big, you know, the Rory factor, Graham, how big were the crowds there last year?
Oh, they were incredible. I've never seen so many people at a golf tournament in South Africa. I mean, I think 99.9% of them were shouting for Rory, and I think that 0.1% was for me. And then it seemed to turn after I managed to win, and they were really, really complimentary of like the way that I played, and spoke to a few of them afterwards, and I had to go into the pavilion and do a Q&A with BMW, and they were really, really kind. Everybody wished me well and well done, and obviously talked about the journey that I'd been on, and to beat Rory McIlroy, like I say, was just like the icing on the cake, and the crowds were just incredible.
Tell us about the course, Glendower. How did you plot your way to victory last year? What do you expect to do to be successful this time around?
I think that for this year, to play like I did, I've just got to stick to the same sort of game plan. And like you say, I've got to plot my way around. I'm not somebody who can vomit over 300-odd yards and carry certain bunkers, like obviously Rory could, and most of the South Africans down here do that anyway. Unfortunately, I haven't quite got that capability, so it is about plotting my way around, putting the ball in play, and giving myself as many birdie chances as possible, and keep the bogeys off the card. And I managed to do that for over 50-odd holes, I think it was, last year. So if I can do that again, then you never know where it might take me.
When you look at the year ahead, Graham, and you look at the venues that we're going to, do you kind of prioritise courses that suit you, or do you just figure you can do well on a long course, because sometimes players that don't hit it miles prosper on courses that are really long? Do you handpick events that you think these are going to be really good chances for me?
Yeah, I have looked at it that way this year to see what tournaments would suit me best. I mean, obviously the first four tournaments I'll play in a row, then I'll have a week off and play the other two in the Middle East, and then I'll kind of cherry pick up until Wentworth and pick which ones would suit me rather than the long travel or the type of golf course that there may be. But on the other hand, there are certain golf courses that, for the way that I play the game, sometimes the tougher the better. Somewhere like a Paris National, where I've won before, you know, you've got to make sure you keep the ball in play, get the ball on the green, and you know that the scoring's not going to be mega low, and that kind of suits me as well.
What are the aims? What are the goals for 2018? What do you think you can achieve once again this season?
The main goal for me this year is to stay fit and healthy for the 12 months and play as well as I possibly can. I'm not really one for setting major goals and targets. I just try and enjoy every week as it comes and enjoy my golf. And that's what I did in 2017. And I think it's just something that I'll continue with and just plug away and work hard.
Well, we really enjoyed you winning last year in South Africa. We wish you well this week and indeed for 2018. Graham, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai podcast.
Thanks, guys. Thanks very much.
Great to hear from Graham Storm, reminiscing about 12 months ago, looking ahead to the defence of his title. But I'll tell you what, Rob, this is a pretty decent event. It's one of the oldest events anyway in the calendar. It's always well attended, certainly by the big hitters from South Africa. Rob, we've got Charles Schwartzel, Brandon Grace, George Coetzee, and a couple of rising stars, you would suggest, in Dylan Fratelli and Dean Burmester.
Brandon Stone, another one.
Good event this week.
Yeah, really good event on a nice old-fashioned golf course, Glendower. Really enjoyed watching it last year. I know the crowds are amazing. We mentioned that to Graham, and that was, of course, the Rory factor. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to, A, being actually in 2018 and seeing what event number one turns up for us on the European Tour.
European Tour players that will be rocking up include Lucas Bjerregaard, who won the Portugal Masters, of course, last year. We've got Jordan Smith, who you ex-players always tell me is...
Great ball striker, played well here last year.
Look, he won the European Open last year. He was third here last year. Renato Paratore, who is a European Tour winner. Eduardo Molinari, who got back in the winner's enclosure as well. We've got some very... good players over the course of the last 12 months who want to get off to a fast start, it would appear.
Well, the fast start is important, and it's also important for players who start their career from the Q School or from the Challenge Tour, newly onto the European Tour, and need to get some points. It's an old saying, but points on the board early, and that is very critical, that you feel you've got something behind you as you head into some of the events coming up. Bang, bang, bang. So for every event that these players get into, they got to make it count. That's why the pressure's always on them.
What about the newbies? Tapio Pulkkinen?
Well, he's already played well. I mean,
he's
been tremendous. Sam Horsfield won the Q School by 8 shots and Tapio won the Challenge Tour and has already played well. And it's not... I think if you picked either of those two to do something this year, you wouldn't be sticking your neck out.
We first spoke to Sam, of course. He looks a real prospect.
He does.
Now then, what about the course? You mentioned it's a good old-fashioned course. It was redesigned around about a generation or so ago. What do you know about it?
You know, some golf courses, the newer ones, I like it. There's a bit of tree-lined in it. There's a bit of risk and reward in it. There are par fives the players can get to. It's got just about everything, actually. And players always talk about, I'm really looking forward to going back to Glendower.
7,594 yards, that is not short.
No, but you always have, A, help with the altitude there in South Africa, and you have help with the temperatures. So the ball goes a long way. That's not a long course over there.
Predictions for the event, and a little bit different this year because it's a points-based system and it will be presenter versus co-presenter. So technically you're playing for the opposition this week.
I'm with you.
You're playing against yourself.
Yes.
Rather than with yourself.
You're worried I'm going to fiddle it. I don't need to fiddle it, honestly. It's hard to pick a winner out here on the European Tour. It's really hard, as you'll see, in 7 days' time.
2 picks each.
Yeah.
20 points for a winner, 10 for a top 10, 5 for a top 20, and crucially, because this could impact you, Rob, over 2018, it's -5 for a missed cut.
What's on offer for the winner?
I don't know. It's up to the producer to conjure up a bag of swag.
Bag of swag.
Tea for two at the Ritz, or maybe dinner for two at the Ivy?
Well, I mean, the Ivy, they're all over the place now. It used to be the middle of town, but now I see there's one in Cobham, one in Richmond.
Mm.
So it's sort of suburban Ivy, or is it Ivy Central? What's on your mind?
Apparently the prize is a fry-up from the canteen.
That'll do.
It'll do. It's not bad. It's good. It's good.
You know,
Race to Dubai Show Towers.
Of its type.
Of its type. One pick, incidentally, and... Again, this is specifically for you. Has to be outside the top 50. So none of this fav backers that we have with you and Boxy and the rest over the course of the year. Has to be outside the top 50 of the final 2017 Race to Dubai standings.
Do you know, in all this, I never try and be clever. I just try and find the bloke I think is going to win. It's not being clever. Look what I did. He's the world's top 2,000th player and he won.
Did he?
I'm just trying to find the winner.
Okay, so two picks each. Let's nail it down. Who are you going for?
I'm going to go for Brandon Grace.
Okay.
Why wouldn't I go for him? He's a brilliant player and he's playing at home. And I'm going to go for Thomas Detry.
Who you probably go for every week.
No, I don't go for him every week, but this week I am.
He's a tipster's favourite, isn't he, Detry?
Yeah, is he? This is news to me.
Well, I don't think so.
Have you tipped
for
him before?
Boxy goes. I never go for Thomas. He's a quality performer.
So why
I'm waiting
you go for him?
For him to flourish a little bit more.
I'm
a form student.
He's not good enough for the damn Roebuck Black Book.
He might be. He's getting close to entry. So Thomas Detry...
Yes, I've got him as
and
my
Brandon
player
Grace.
Outside the top 50. That's
okay.
Right.
I am going to go.
You're going to counter that with.
I'm going to counter that with Dylan Fratelli.
What, in other words, what am I going for?
I'm going for Dylan Fratelli.
Yes.
As my main selection, and my under the radar outside of the top 50 man is Sean Norris, who's got some good form at the track and played well on the Japanese tour towards the end of last year. He's my left field pick.
I always want to go frittata with Fratelli.
Fratelli? You say frittata.
I like frittata.
I say Fratelli.
I like frittata. It's sort of egg mash with potatoes.
Is it mash?
It's all sort of in there, isn't it?
Tapas? Maybe the prize should be a tapas meal.
A tapas meal?
Frittata?
I'll go a bit of tapas.
Patatas bravas.
If I find a nice tapas bar. I went to a nice tapas bar just outside the Sagrada de Familia. Magnificent it was.
Bueno?
It was muy bueno.
Now then, the BMW South African Open, hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni, also sees the start of the 2018 Fantasy Race to Dubai game. It is early this year, ladies and gentlemen, so make sure that you get your selections in. Registering is straightforward. All you've got to do is head to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. The rules are just as easy to follow as our prediction competition.
You've done yours already, have you?
In fact, that there is. Yes, I've done mine. I will let you know mine in a second.
Well, I'm consistent.
Listen, these are the rules, first and foremost.
All right.
Pick a team of six golfers. From your chosen six, nominate a captain. Your team accumulates points based on the official Race to Dubai points earned by your players in 2018 European Tour events. Your captain will have his points doubled. The auto replacement option automatically replaces any players in your team who aren't playing that week, just in case you forget to make changes. It's the worst email I get every week.
One of our producers.
It's not happening to me this year.
No, one of our producers is so bad at picking. We call him Auto Replacement.
Really?
Yes, that's his nickname, Auto Replacement.
AR.
AR.
Yeah.
Known as AR.
AR.
Yeah, but I like to be consistent. So Brandon Grace is my captain.
Hang on.
That's why I've picked him here. Detry's in my six.
I know, but wait. First of all, we are going to be running presenters and listeners mini league. Yes. So if you think you can do better than us.
And you can. There's plenty of room.
Let's face it. Join us. Go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. Pick your fantasy team, then under the private league tab, enter the pin. This is our pin. It is lowercase v, lowercase w, uppercase r, lowercase j, lowercase g, lowercase r, uppercase j, uppercase n, and lowercase y. I'll do that again for you quickly, because I know it's difficult.
Will you do it in English?
I know that you've not written it down, so Rob,
let me tell you, VW won't be happy being lowercase.
Hang on a second. Lowercase V and W. Uppercase R. Lowercase J, G, R. Uppercase J, N. Lowercase Y. Now, you were trying to jump the gun with your six. Come on then, Rob, who are you going for the South African Open? Who are your six?
Well, Brandon
six
Grace
to follow?
Is my captain.
Okay.
Of course.
Grace, your captain, yeah.
Yes, and I've got Thomas Detry in my six.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember now. Scrambling.
Scrambling.
I've got Jordan Smith in my six.
Yeah.
I've got Fratelli in my six.
Yeah.
I have got Brandon Stone in my six.
Yeah.
And I have got, as I go through the list of entries, and I'm trying to remind myself on several bits of paper, who did I pick? Andy Sullivan I put in there as well.
Did you put Andy Sullivan in?
Yes.
Shrewd. Shrewd.
Yes.
My considered six are Fratelli as captain, Smith, Schwartzel, Grace, Molinari, and Burmester. Good luck, everyone.
You're going to have to remember that, of course.
I don't have to remember it because it's already in.
It's imprinted.
Some of us take this very seriously.
I think I also put in Lucas Bjerregaard and Renato Paratore as well, by the way. I picked about 10.
You're not allowed a team of 8. Speaking of prizes, surely, Rob,
yes,
we can conjure up some sort of European Tour swag.
I'll tell you how bad this is. Let me tell you how bad this is. One year.
Surely. Did we have one for last year?
No, let me tell you.
No, say the producers.
Let me tell you the lengths that the Race to Dubai show were going to produce a prize. I had to give away a set of clubs.
Well, you are the main presenter.
I had to give away a set of clubs. My club.
Well, that's good, isn't it?
Well, you would have thought the show would stump up the cash, wouldn't you? No, no, no.
Why doesn't
the presenter give a prize?
We will get some swag.
That's what they do in the show.
That is our preview of this week's events. But let's look ahead further. And 47 events to be played across 30 countries, of course, in 2018. Over €120 million in prize money on offer, plus places in the Ryder Cup team up for grabs. It's shaping up to be a great year on the European Tour. Chief Executive Keith Pelly joined us on the Race to Dubai show recently and was asked what he's looking forward to most in 2018.
It'll be interesting to see Rory McIlroy. You know, he returns in Abu Dhabi. You know, Justin Rose yesterday won for the third time in, I think, 8 weeks. And Justin's going to host the British Masters following Lee Westwood's success at Close House. So that's something to look forward to. We have new events in Oman, the Philippines, and Belgium, where Thomas Peters is going to be hosting that. You know, the Challenge Tour is also have another strong schedule, and you know the Rolex Series certainly gives them something to aspire to, the young Challenge Tour players. So I think we have a terrific schedule. We have a lot of terrific young talent, and I think any year that is a Ryder Cup year and a home Ryder Cup year is extra special. And that, for me, is something I'm really looking forward to being part of.
He's hit the nail on the head. Ryder Cup year, some brilliant events, Rolex involved once again, some great majors all over the course of 2018.
Do you know when the Duracell ads, when you see the Duracell bunny and it keeps going on all the other batteries, Keith should be Duracell Keith. He should get sponsored by Duracell because he's got so much energy. It's unbelievable. But he is so enthusiastic about the European Tour, and I think he's pushing it and shoving it and kicking it into a really good direction. The players are on board. That's why we're excited about the Rolex series, about the majors, about how the new innovations are going to become a big part of our season. Yeah, it's all good.
Three new events, the MBO Oman Golf Classic, Philippines Golf Championship and the Belgian Knockout. The latter features nine-hole stroke play knockout matches on the weekend, continuing the tour's adaptation of new formats with the ISPS Handa World Super 6 Perth featuring on the Race to Dubai once again, along with the popular Golf Sixes, another event which made a successful debut in 2017. We've also, Rob, got the Shot Clock Masters in Austria to look forward to. A word on that, that's going to be interesting, isn't it?
It is. It's a real unknown, actually. You know, you're supposed to have 40, 45 seconds to hit a shot, which, in my view, is
enough.
It's so much time to get your shot away. It's so much time, because if you're the second or the third guy in the three ball, by the time it gets to you, you should be ready to go. Yeah, but modern players, they're not. That's when they start all their committee meetings with the caddies and stuff, and they're just not ready in time. So
this is going to be fast. You've got timeouts as well. It's going to be interesting.
How they
go about this.
And it's the first one, so you know it'll be interesting because all these things get fine tuned as you go along. You know, Mark II is better than Mark I, Mark III is better than Mark II. We'll see how the Shot Clock Masters goes in Austria, but I tell you, it's going to be a fascinating thing to see.
We have got a Ryder Cup special available for listeners. Of course, you can find that on the European Tour or on iTunes. We've sort of danced around it a little bit because we talked about the Eurasia Cup.
Yeah.
I mean, the Americans are very, very good, but, you know, Le Golf National, I think, might level it up a little bit because it's a tough course, isn't it?
It's a great test of golf, particularly if you're nervous. I mean, you can
get
off in stroke play. You can get off to a horror start. You can make a mess of that first hole and start with a six. You can make a mess of the second, the par three, and start with a five. That's two doubles before you step onto the third, the par five tee. So finishing on the golf course, 15, 16, 17, and 18, anything can happen there. And it's kind of in an amphitheatre where a lot of the matches will finish. The crowds will be on the banks, everyone with a great view. It's going to be a phenomenal Ryder Cup. But we have, you know, Tommy Fleetwood's not played Ryder Cup. He goes back to a venue that he won on last year at the French Open. So we know we've got lots of good things pointing our way towards European success.
European Tour website has made some interesting predictions for 2018. I want you to look into your crystal ball, Rob.
Yeah.
And tell me whether you think they will happen. First up, Tyrrell Hatton to finish inside the top five in a major. He's only done it once before. What do you reckon?
Yeah, a tick.
Tick for that one. Fifth in the Open in 2016. Had a great year last year, although he did miss the cut in all four majors. Rory to win his fifth major. His last came in, what, 2014 now?
Tick.
Tick for that. Rory to come good. Which one is he most likely, do you
think?
Well,
the one I want him to win is, of course, the Masters. So he gets his career slam, and there's only five people that have done that. So you're going to ask me name now, aren't you? No, good.
Shinnecock Hills a bit linksy. Could he go US Open again?
Shinnecock's one of, it's every time I speak to golf aficionados in America, they say Shinnecock is one of the great venues. I've never been there before. I'm going this year. I'm looking forward to seeing it. Yeah, it's going to be. You mean Ewan went for Tiger to win at Shinnecock?
I mean, the greens.
That's a massive call.
The greens could get absolutely brutal there, as they did when the
Geese
won
all
those years ago.
They suffered then, didn't they? They weren't supposed to be like they were.
The weather was bad.
They'd lost them.
That was the problem.
They'd lost them. They'd lost the greens, and it became a bit ridiculous. And Retief Goosen won. It was incredible. But great golf course.
John Rahm to reach world number one. He's three at the moment.
He could do. It was so obvious to me when I first saw John Rahm that he wasn't going to be a star. He was going to be a superstar. It was incredible. It was like. It was just the easiest pick in the world. Can he get to world number one? Absolutely he can. I talked about Brandon Grace and Tyrrell Hatton as players who really, they're only turning up to win. John Rahm, that's him. That's what he is. That's his MO. Can he get to world number one? Yes. But Dustin Johnson is a phenomenal player. Dustin Johnson will have to come off the wave that he's on for John to get past him because John's got to play at least as well as Dustin and better. To close the gap. It's going to be difficult, but already up to world number three, just, what, seconds after the end of his rookie year? Incredible stuff. Brilliant player.
Europe to bounce back and win the Ryder Cup.
yes, Europe to bounce back and win the Ryder Cup. It's not going to be easy because I was at...
I tend to sense here
Liberty
that you
National.
Think it's not going to happen.
No, no, I'm not saying that. I was at Liberty National and I saw the hubris and the chutzpah that the Americans had when they had it going from Thursday to Saturday. All right, the internationals came back in the singles, but it was all over then. It's a bit like, you know, trying to come back in the ashes when you lost the first three. It doesn't really matter. I think the Europeans will have to bring their very best game, and I think they can win, yeah.
Henrik Stenson's last win in Europe was, of course, the Open. He did win in the States in 2017. Will he win again in 2018?
Yes, but Henrik has been...
Has he still got it in him for another major?
Oh, he's got it. He's definitely got it in him. All he needs is to stay healthy. He needs to stay healthy. I know he's a big, strong guy, but his action, his swing is one that's... There's a lot of effort in it. It doesn't glide. He's not a Roger Federer. He's more of a Rafa Nadal. You know, if you look at the way those two players get around the court, it's very different. And Henrik Stenson's swing takes a lot of effort and a lot of muscle power.
Last of the website's predictions, Li Haotong to win again in 2018. Didn't win in 2017,
no.
But brilliant when he was scored in China the previous year.
Yeah, winning's difficult at any time on the European Tour, but Li Haotong is, first of all, a great guy, really funny guy. He's got a great attitude, and I think that he being at the pinnacle of Chinese golf at the minute is that, you know, they're pinning their colours to a really top class golfer, and I see Li Haotong winning again in 2018. In other words, the European Tour haven't got much wrong with those picks.
Other predictions, up and comers, five players that the website have talked about to watch in 2018. Alexander Bjork, who's been placed in a couple of events over the course of the last 12 months. Austin Connolly, second in the Netherlands. Alfie Plant, who took the silver medal in the Open. Sam Horsfield, who of course won Q School. And Tapio Pulkkinen, who was very good on the Challenge Tour. Which of those quintet do you think we'll see up amongst leaderboards towards the top of them? What are your thoughts?
I think they've all got pedigree to greater or lesser degrees. Alexander Bjork played some terrific stuff last year. Austin Connolly is a guy that just goes for it. He's come out of absolutely nowhere. Alfie Plant, we saw what he did at the Open. Sam Horsfield won the Q School by 8. Tapio Pulkkinen won the Challenge Tour, which is really hard to win. You've got to play for a whole season, and to come out on there on top, you've proved yourself over the period, not over 6 rounds, over a whole year. So Tapio's already played well this year. I can see a situation where they all have success to greater or lesser degrees. Who's going to be the most successful out of all of those? Is that your question?
Well, it can be, if you want to give us one.
Alexander Bjork has...
He's got form in the book, hasn't he?
He's got stuff already in the bank. He's got it banked that he knows he can compete out there. So can he keep it going? Can he keep improving on what he did last year? If he continues to improve, he'll probably be the best of them.
We've talked about up-and-comers. We've talked about some of the big hitters as well. Anyone that we haven't mentioned over the course of our sort of 2018 preview that think, look, this guy is going to be back on track, or he's going to stay at the top of his game? We talked about Tiger earlier. Sergio Garcia won the Masters last year. Can you see him kicking on? Can Justin Rose win another major?
They're too easy, aren't they?
We want the players to make the headlines.
Couple of great stories.
Come on.
Couple of great stories at the Q School was that Gonzalo Fernandez Castaño went back and got his card, and so did Anders Hansen. They went back and got their card. Anders Hansen retired from the game, the Danish player. So he sort of disenfranchised with golf, and I've got other things to do. Hello, he's back, and he requalified to get out there on the European Tour. So as much as we talk about the young players, you know, the Austin Connollys, the Alfie Plants, Horsfield, Pulkkinen, and Bjork, I'm looking at some of the old players, older players, that have come back and rededicated themselves. So I wish those two, Anders Hansen and Gonzalo, a lot of luck this year.
Other news to bring you now, and the European Tour are delighted to announce that the transition from the European Senior Tour to the Stayshore Tour is now complete. The 10-year agreement will lead to a rebranding of the European Senior Tour, which includes the incorporation of a new headline event, the Stayshore PGA Seniors Championship, which aims to attract a stellar field and will offer a prize fund of £400,000. Of course, the PGA Tour have already had one event in 2018. That was the Tournament of Champions. Dustin Johnson was very, very, very good. Rob won in a hat canter, didn't he?
8 under par in the last round, 24 under par for the tournament. John Rahm finishing second. Again, he wouldn't have played that golf course before. Kapalua, it's pretty spectacular there down in Hawaii. And Dustin Johnson, he's not looking over his shoulder, is he?
He's not. two players that are in the top 10, they're right towards the top. We need the top 10 in the world.
The top 10 in the world look like this. Dustin Johnson, world number one. Jordan Spieth stays at number two. John Rahm is the big mover, goes from 4 to 3. Justin Thomas drops down from 3 to 4. Hideki Matsuyama, as he was in 5, as is Rose in 6, as is Ricky Fowler in 7. Koepka stays at 8, Stenson at 9, and Sergio Garcia rounds out the top 10.
Speaking of rounding out, we need your final thoughts ahead of what is set to be another great year on the European Tour. We started the show and you were hopeful for various things to happen. The tour has got bigger and better. I mean, the standard for me, Rob, we talked about some of the players who have won on tour already this season, back end of 2017, and it just seems to me that you get new names that are very, very good almost every week popping up and competing to stay in the European Tour, to stay and keep your card. I mean, it must be harder than ever. The standard is sensational.
It is sensational. It goes back to 110 this year, players that keep their card. And even within the Tour, you get your card, there are levels. And the level, once you get on Tour, is to get to a place where you can start to compete in the Rolex Series events. So even within being on Tour and having your card, there are places that you want to get to. It's an aspirational Tour. And the Rolex Series, I think, in 2017 was absolutely tremendous. I mean, it really got some traction around the world. Everyone sort of knows what the Rolex Series is straight away now. It's quite amazing how you can make something so quickly, grow so quickly. It's a quality product, and the players on the European Tour, I know, are excited to compete in those again. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how they pan out.
Well, that's it for now. Next week, we'll look back at the Eurasia Cup presented by DRB HiCom and the BMW South African Open hosted by the city of Ekurhuleni, and also preview the Abu Dhabi HSBC Championship. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via the website, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. And if you've enjoyed the show, please don't forget to rate and review it on iTunes. But for now, from Robert Lee...
Yes, I've gone for Brandon Grace and Thomas Dietrich. It's goodbye.
And from me, Dan Roebuck, it is goodbye. We will see you next time.